What's up, y'all? Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. I'm Coach K, and I'm super excited to be here as always. And whether we are joining together collectively as we refocus and recenter our breath and take some time in a breathing meditation, or if we are just chit-chatting about the things that really matter in life, I'm always excited to be here with you. So as we dive into this week's episode, I encourage you to grab you a cup of coffee, find you a comfy seat, and let's just get it going. Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. Remember me? It's been a little while. It's been a minute. I have definitely missed doing this and have missed you guys. And I owe you a big thank you. If you stuck around and you're back, I owe you a big explanation. And that's what part of this episode is. And so we'll just jump right in. Thank you again for joining me. I hope your time has been fruitful as much as possible. Grab you a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you like to drink or chill with, because that's the premise of this thing. It's like it's an opportunity just for us to talk health and wellness and get some education at the same time, just being slightly entertained, because I don't know how to live life without being a little entertaining / entertained. So thanks for joining me today. We're going to talk about the reason I've kind of been on hiatus. I had no plans to do this whatsoever. I had several episodes written and ready to go. I like to record them fresh, though. I don't like to do ahead of schedule. I'm weird like that. And I like to have an opportunity just to sit down and do that. And those were my plans. Like, I had some good stuff. We were talking about trauma, and I had some more information about metabolic disease that I wanted to share with you, and my plans were thwarted. They got changed in early February, and I'm just going to take it kind of slow and give you some background so that you understand, and then I want to be able to give you some guidance and direction, or, you know, what I've learned in the process. This is going to become a part of the podcast, so it's important for me to kind of lay the foundation really well so that everybody has an understanding. It might read like a soap opera at some point, so take good notes. But this time away has been life-changing, of course, for several reasons. So wanted to start off with a quote that I found that I love, and I keep it with me now, and I forgot who wrote it. I'm going to have to get that for you guys and put it in the show notes in case you were wondering. But the quote is, "Take time to think. It is the source of power." And so I've spent a lot of time gaining power and knowledge in this time off. And so I am super, super excited to be here and share it with you. So let's dive in. Like I said, my plans were changed in early February. I started having central chest pain, not like, oh my God, heart attack chest pain, but more like, what did I do? Because, you know, as a active person, you start thinking that, you know, you pulled something or you were a little extra rough, you know, you really held that plank, sister. And you start thinking that, okay, that's what it is. So I'm just going to do some home care at home. You guys know, obviously, from this podcast, I'm very holistic minded. And so I feel like the mind and the body and the soul can work together and heal whatever. And that has not changed. Keep that in mind. That has not changed. But anyways, I started icing and using heat if it felt better to use heat or ice. I didn't know, but I knew that both of them provided some comfort. I was taking Motrin. Nurses are horrible. Medical people are horrible. We take way more than we should. And I probably did. Not gonna lie. But I'm still here. So, hey, there's that. So I did ice and Motrin for a couple of days, and it did not get any better. And I was like, this is really weird. Why is the middle of my chest hurting? And I started trying to self-diagnose because, full disclosure, being a nurse for 20 years, that's kind of what happened. So I was trying to think, like, what did I do? How can I fix it? What is it? And ice and Motrin weren't helping. So I just gave up. I said, okay, time to go get some help. Time to go get some help. And so I went to the urgent care center and was concerned because, I don't know what it is. I really can't put my head on it. And in addition to that, I had the worst headache I've ever had in my whole entire life. And there might be some migraine headache sufferers listening that can relate, but it was absolutely debilitating. I could not move. I couldn't get up. I just wanted to lay in the bed and not talk to anybody. It didn't make me nauseous or anything. It just truly was a very, very bad headache. And so that passed. I did wind up taking something for that. That passed, and so I thought I was good, but the chest pain continued. So I went to urgent care. That's where we are. Went to urgent care. Was seen. Got the dreaded yet obviously necessary in this time COVID test, even though I wasn't having the typical symptoms that you see, I guess, whenever somebody is tested positive. I had a COVID test and that came back undetectable. I was thankful for that, obviously, after working in the ER for the last year that we've been dealing with COVID. I assumed I made really good choices and I did what I was supposed to do. And so I was in the clear. And so I was thankful for that, obviously. But I still couldn't figure out why I had a headache and why my chest would not stop hurting. So the doctor that was there, was excellent, listened to my concerns, gave me a muscle relaxer because we were thinking that it was muscular, and a higher prescription for Motrin because, I'm going through bottles at this point. Not quite, but quite a few. Gave me a prescription for Motrin to get filled, and went home. And so got all of the medicine and I was like, okay, I'm not a huge medicine taker. I don't care for them, but I'm going to try this because it's really beginning to annoy me. And of course, if you've ever taken a muscle relaxer, you know that the only thing it truly does is relax you enough to where you go the heck to sleep. And I mean, like, that was some good sleep, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. That was like extra melatonin type of sleep. But it did not fix the problem. It didn't fix the problem. And that's where we are in the healthcare system. Sometimes you feel like, right, is like you're getting pills trying to solve an issue, but the root cause of it is what really needs to be addressed. And so that's where I was leading up to that. So he told me to go and see my provider if the pain continued, and it did, obviously, beyond just the muscle relaxer. I still was struggling with it off and on. At the same time, I didn't have a provider. I don't have a primary care physician. So I chose to go back and see my oncologist. Those of you that kind of know my story, back in 2011, I was diagnosed with early cancer. It's DCIS, and I made the radical decision to have a bilateral mastectomy with reconstructive surgery. And so I've been off and on regarding follow-up. I haven't been exactly on schedule, but back in 2019, I did see my oncologist. And so we had a rapport. We knew of each other. We knew of each other. And so I went to see her and I was explaining what was going on. And right away, let's do some breast care. Ultrasound and mammogram, just to start off, because in that chest area, there was some discomfort with my right breast area as well. That was off and on. So she followed up. During this time, I started having some issues with work. I was having trouble lifting things. I was having trouble adjusting beds that were manual, that we have to lift ourselves, that are just like the top portion of the bed. You know, those hospital beds that you push the little lever behind the top of the bed and the bed raises and all of a sudden you're like way more comfortable. Yeah, I couldn't even do that. I went toe to toe with a 6-month-old who needed a urine sample. And do you know that little joker won? She won. I was shaking all over the place. And that's not normal for me. So, because I'm a boss, I got this. But no, I started having trouble with just simply simple procedures, simple things that, you do day in and day out in an emergency room. And so I knew then that it was more of a problem than I was letting on. My oncologist, going back to her, we had a discussion, talked a bit, had the ultrasound and the mammogram, and we are at a place now where we're concerned about an area that needed to be evaluated and assessed. I'm hard-headed. If you know nothing else about me, I'm a bit hard-headed. And so, while she's assessing and coming up with her plan of care, I'm coming up with my own. I'm coming up with my own plan, and it involved following up with my plastic surgeon because I was hoping beyond hope that it was something simply cosmetic that I could adjust. That could be adjusted by them. It had nothing to do with my oncologist. I was like, you do your thing over there, sister. I'm going over here, and I'm gonna work on this while you work on that. Okay, 1, 2, 3, break. Like, teamwork. So I had a follow-up appointment with my plastic surgeon. I told you it's gonna be like a soap opera. Followed up with my plastic surgeon, and who is an amazing, amazing person. I will give you reference if you need it, but man, I kind of don't want to because it's hard to get in already. But he's on, I'll just tell you this, he's on commercials for Kelsey Seibold. That's how good he is. Or maybe that's how awesome he is. Maybe that's how cute he is. Or maybe he won. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Moving on. So, went to see the plastic surgeon. They were in great spirits, hadn't seen them in years and years and years, think 2011, 2012. And so there was a concern that it truly was cosmetic, the area that I was having trouble with. There was something that it could have been, which was called a capsular contracture. And so we were going down the road of confirming that with diagnostic testing, mainly an MRI, but she threw in a big but. Not the kind that sits on the back of your booty. Not that kind. She threw in a big butt. She said, in order for us to move forward, I need you to confirm that this is not cancer related. So you have to follow up with your oncologist. And I was like, God, dog it. I just left her. I just knew we were going to fix it together. And here you come throwing, on the fire. Okay. So we follow up with the oncologist, what do I need to do? Because plastics will not move forward. We're going to have to biopsy this area of concern. And I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, here we go. All right. I'll give you more of what happens after that here shortly, but let's take a break real quick. I am being very firm about this, because about continuing to share. Because I was reminded several times now in the last 2 months that we learn from each other best. We absorb those challenges that we faced, and the things that we're dealing with best by sharing with one another. And this process, and finding out what's happening with me, has forced me to reevaluate how I share and why I share, especially in the form of a podcast. You just want to really get, you just want to really be able to help people. And that is the heart and soul of a nurse coach. The goal of wanting to help, and the goal of what we do and how we live and what we move and bring to the table, truly is the desire to help people. At the heart of it is, that's nursing. That's foundational. And so that is the reason why I share. I thought I was going to do 2 episodes, but I think I'm going to combine it into one because it really isn't that long to begin with. We can move forward. So that was your break, just that little blip. Okay, so moving on. Biopsy time comes, and I go in and I'm absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. What I'm mostly terrified of is that they're gonna find cancer again. And if you've ever dealt with cancer, ever lived with it, ever was a patient, if you ever were a caregiver of a patient with cancer, if you ever had friends that had it, loved ones, you understand how, debilitating it can be to live your life knowing that, there's a good possibility that it could return. And so that's how I saw this biopsy. I also knew that I was pretty, I was healthy. I was a healthy individual. I, do my best. Sometimes my best isn't good enough. Ain't that a song? I do my best to eat a well-balanced diet, be active most days of the week, and get proper rest. But I'm not always great at it. And so I think those thoughts started creeping up in your head. And so I go into the biopsy and being me and hard-headed and didn't want some of the things that they were asking me about. But at the end of the day, I had to kind of cave and decide. I had to decide what was going to be the best next steps, the best course of action. And so the biopsy was an important part because I was ready to get back to the plastic surgeon. So got the biopsy and had to wait for those results. And mid-March, I got a phone call that definitely confirmed my cancer was back. And so now starts the process of adjusting to life as I knew it as a cancer patient for the second time. This was quite a shock, as you can imagine. I think whenever you're going through a difficult diagnosis or something that is very challenging for you and very life-changing. It's an out-of-body experience. I can tell you, I felt like she was talking about somebody else when she told me what she said. I didn't make the connection. I thought, surely she's talking about someone else. Surely. I was very aggressive in the beginning. I completely jumped for the biggest and most quickest chain, quickest care plan that I could come up with at the time, and that was a double, mastectomy. And I figured that was the way to go. There was good information that it would all be all but give me a chance of a regular life. I was told that after just the double mastectomy and then reconstruction that I was like the rest of the public. I had a 5% chance of it returning and was very low, and I didn't need any, chemo or radiation, and that this was the biggest thing I could do, and so I did it. And then to hear 10 years later, to hear 10 years later that it was back was literally an out-of-body experience. And so I've spent a lot of time since February and in March rationalizing how this couldn't be. And so I had to spend the remainder of that time up until now understanding what it was. And so that's where I have been. That's where I've been. I'll go into more detail as the story unfolds. Because I feel like it's important for you. I can't come to you, and truly be the person that I know I can be, in order for me to be able to address the things that I want to address without me being 100% honest about where I am. And that's the only way I know how to be. So I knew I had to break this situation down and be honest with you about it. Are we going to talk breast health every single time I do a podcast? I don't know yet. I'm not for sure. I'm still figuring that out because there's so much more that I want to say about health and wellness. So I think it'll be part of it for sure. But I also feel like I feel like it's important to to I want to journey this, and I want to journal this, and I want you to come along for the ride if it's something that you're interested in. Maybe you've got a friend or a loved one, or heck, maybe even yourself, you're going through something similar where, unfortunately, your life changed at a moment's notice, and you're trying to figure out how to traverse it and how to scale it. So, a couple of things I wrote down that I wanted to share. I am in the middle of, I don't want to cut off the story because I know you're like, well, what happened? Where's the popcorn? You're sitting with your popcorn and you're like, well, what's going on now? So for now, we've got some preliminary results that are still being evaluated. I did do a second opinion at a different facility just because I wanted to be super sure this time. And so I'm in the middle of a workup at the second facility. So I do not have a treatment plan. I don't have a whole bunch extra to tell you. As of now, it is obviously stage four. I did mention the chest issue, so if you've been kind of keeping track, but I'll give you more once I know more. And if you've got any words of wisdom or advice or encouragement, hit me up on my social media, or just send me an email. My email's in my show notes, so there it'll be there for your quick reference. But I wanted to address the phenomenon of going from caregiver to patient, because that truly has been the space that I've been in. I've spent so much of my life as the caregiver in multiple areas. I've been the primary caretaker for my two kids since their father passed away. I've sat in the role of a nurse and now as a nurse coach. And so my caregiver skills are, they're pretty good. I'm tapping myself on the back. But my patient skills, my skills at being a patient suck. They suck. I have to work on those. I'm not gonna lie. So some of the things that I truly learned in this process, in the last 2 months, now, is that your control over your reactions is literally all you have control over, 100%. Your control over how you react when things are not exactly what you think they should be, that's all you have. You don't get to tell other people how to behave or how to think or how to move. You kind of have it for yourself. I had no control over how my children would accept the fact that their mom had stage four breast cancer. I had no control over how my loved ones would, respond to, the news and the story and my coworkers and such. I simply knew that this is what was happening and I could not change any parts of it at the moment. That's all you have is how you respond. That's all you get. That's all you get. So be good with it. Be good with it. Health insurance is really medical insurance and have nothing to do with your health. In this 2 month process, you guys, of being going from the caregiver, the prescriber to the prescribee and the patient, I've really come to see how much control health insurance, quote unquote, have over your health and your medical care. It truly is. They guide every aspect of the care that you get and receive. I had two procedures that were initially denied by my health insurance. I don't even feel comfortable calling it health insurance anymore, but I had two procedures that were initially denied by the medical gang. That's what I want to call them, the gang. And I had to, spend lots of time on the phone getting it approved, getting help from my provider, and providing more documentation. So it's a very, very tedious process, and it needs to change. I am in it for that for sure. This is wow. That's all I can say. It's been very eye-opening to see just how much control that medical insurance has over your health. So it's best for you to control the parts of your health that you can so that you don't need them. That's what I've come up with. Now, there are some cases where you will need them, like in the example that I'm giving of myself. But what you do have control over right now is what you put in your mouth and what you do with your body and how much you give to those things. That's the part that you have control over. And you've got to remember that and keep that as a primary focus. Going from caregiver to patient means that it's time for to make some drastic health changes, and I will definitely be chronicling those. I have read probably three books that are thicker than most books I read, because I like the short and sweet and dirty ones, but I need to know how to take care of myself better. So I've read those, and I've learned, I've gained so much knowledge, and I can't wait to just impart it for you so that in an effort that you might be able to live a healthier life for yourself and for those around you and that you love, because they're watching you. If you're making changes, they're watching you. People are watching what you do. They might not say a dadgum thing, but they're watching you. Trust me. Those are really the most powerful things that I learned in going from a caregiver to a patient. There will definitely be more as we travel this journey together. I do invite you to come along, obviously. That's always been a big part of my podcast, and even prior to the podcast, I've been pretty open about the breast cancer journey. So, I definitely invite you to come along and share whatever it is that you feel on your heart led to share. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with more information, but as always, I want to encourage you just to live well, be good, and take care of yourself. Okay? Y'all have a good day. Bye.